This is HPR episode 2461 entitled Gitterite. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 31 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is using Gitterite to administer your Git server.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Too, and I want to talk about Gitolite. Gitolite is a server for a server front end for Git. So in the previous Git episode, I talked about just running Git on a server and kind of making that available to people via SSH, which is pretty typical. That's usually the vector for getting into a Git repository. You can access it over a Git protocol or an HTTP protocol. But when you're pushing and pulling and actually making commits, usually people prefer SSH. So you can do that. I explained how to do that in the previous episode. But that relies entirely on the host server in terms of who gets permission to access what. And when you go to add users, for instance, you have to do that through you know, it's just the Unix users get receive Git access, and you can manipulate permissions and things like that to make sure that people don't have access to repositories that you don't want them to have access to. But it would be a lot of work, and someone's already done that work, and the project that gives you all of that work for free is called Gitolite. That's Gitolite. Specifically, it's Gitolite 3, and I say that because the documentation for Gitolite at gitolite.com tells you to look for specifically Gitolite 3 when you go to install it, because I guess there must be packages out there still for just Gitolite, which refers, I guess, to version 2. So Gitolite 3 is quite a handy little front end to help administrators manage users and user permissions in relation to a Git server. Now, this isn't one of those fancy front ends that provides you a web interface or anything like that. It's not, for instance, GitLab or something like that. It's just for administration. So it's a command that you'll have on your server, and users will never really interact directly with Gitolite. You will give them an address of what they should use as their remote location for their Git repository. They will do that, and that's pretty much the only interaction they'll have with Gitolite. Gitolite is very much an administrative tool, and its advantage is that if you want a developer to join your project, or if the developer has requested access to a Git repository that you're managing, rather than them then automatically having to have a user account on your server, you can make them a user of Gitolite and simply grant that user read and write permission, for instance, to a single repository, and that's all they'll ever be able to access on your server. It's really handy. So here's how to get it. So I'm just firing up a virtual machine right now, and when you log in, you escalate to root user, or use sudo if you prefer, and do an install of Gitolite 3, or Gitolite. It just kind of depends on what your repository calls it, but if there's a Gitolite and a Gitolite 3, go for Gitolite 3. So I've installed it, and the first thing that we need to do, and all of this stuff is what I'm talking you through, really, is available on the Gitolite.com website. If you go to Gitolite.com/Gitolite/quick_install, that'll get you set up, really. You do have to kind of read the code, the box, the screen capture box, but other than that, it's pretty straightforward. Now there's longer explanations of all of this, but I'm just gonna do the quick install because I'm assuming that you're fairly familiar at least with Unix and with SSH, and that's pretty much all this is going to entail. So I've got I've set up a user for myself on this virtual machine, which you would want to do if you haven't already. Like a standard user, not just root, for instance. And then I've also created, or I've set up the SSH infrastructure on this server so that I can access it with a public key, or with a private and public key exchange. So that's already set up. If you don't know how to do that, go learn how to do that and then come back and complete this install. So on this server, I can now SSH into into this server. So I know that on this server, I have one user, and I'm going to escalate to root, and I'm going to create a new user, just called git, G-I-T. This is what is going to be considered the host user. That's what Gitolite refers to this user as. Now, it doesn't have to be the string git. It could be git dev, it could be developer, it could be, you know, whatever you want, but the point of this user is going to be kind of the owner, the keeper of Gitolite. So use whatever front-end script that you use to create users. Maybe it's add user, maybe it's user add, maybe it's a GUI, maybe it's YAST. Whatever you use, do that, create a user, and this user I'm calling Git. Now I'm going to get out of my virtual machine and go back to my client machine. And I'm going to copy up to the server, up to the virtual machine, my public key for Klaatu. So I'm just going to do an scp from my home directory in .ssh slash id underscore rsa dot pub. And I'm going to copy that up to Klaatu at 192.168.122.70:tilde. That may not be the address of your virtual machine, but if you're using Virt Manager, that's what it defaults to. Alright, so now back in the virtual machine, I have this key. Now I've called it gitolite.key is what I've changed the name of this file to. You don't have to do that. I did, just so that I don't get all of my various keys confused. So now I'm gonna move as root user again, I'm gonna move this gitolite.key over to slash home slash git. And then I'm going to go into slash home slash git. And I'm going to change the owner of that key such that it is git colon, I don't know where that is on the QWERTY keyboard anymore, users. And that will be gitolite.key. And then I'm going to su space dash space git. So now I am the git user. Perfect. So what we have is a git user, a dedicated git user, and we've got my administrative SSH public key sitting in the home folder of this new Git user. Now all we have to do is do a setup for Gitolite, and there is a subcommand for setup. It is called Gitolite space setup, and then the arguments. Well, you can see the arguments if you do a Gitolite space setup space dash H. That will kind of explain what you need to do. It doesn't explain it super well, I found. I found it quite confusing, to be honest. But you can at least read it. It is there. So Gitolite space setup, and then what we really want to do is space dash pk, or if you prefer the long version of that, dash dash pub key, and then the file. So in this case, the file that our public key is gitolite.key. So that's Klaatu's key. It's living in Gitolite's. It's Klaatu's public key living in Gitolite's home directory for now. So we've done a Gitolite setup dash dash pub key gitolite.key. I press return and it says that it does not end in .pub. I guess I'm going to rename my gitolite.key to gitolite.pub. There we go. And now I'm going to do gitolite setup dash dash pk or dash dash pub key gitolite.pub. And it says it's initialized an empty repository. It's initialized an empty repository. .ssh is missing. It's creating a new one for me. And it says that the authorized keys is missing, so it's creating a one. And it's normal on a brand new install, so don't panic. And now if I do an ls in my home directory, I've got my public key, I've got a projects.list, and I've got a repositories directory. If I do a list in repositories, I have a gitolite-admin.git. And I've got a testing.git. The only one I really care about right now is gitolite-admin.git. So what I can do now on my client machine, so this is not in the virtual machine, this is on my client machine, I'm going to do a git clone space git at 192.168.122.70 colon gitolite-admin.git. So notice, the user on my client machine is Klaatu, it's not git, but I'm doing a git clone using git at 192.168.122.70 colon gitolite-admin.git. And then I will copy that, or I will deposit that in a folder called gitolite-admin.git here on my local machine as well. So if I do that, it may prompt you for your password, if you have a password on your SSH key, and then suddenly it is cloning a new repository called gitolite-admin.git. All right. So this is actually how you administer your Gitolite server. So SUing to the Git user and going into Git home directory and all that other good stuff, that's you're done with that now. You're not really going to ever do that. And you are discouraged from doing that by Gitolite documentation. They tell you specifically, do not do that. Don't try to administer Gitolite from the server. Those will be bare repositories that you are not meant to interact with directly. They're the trackers for all the remote repositories out there in the wild. And that includes your administration repository. So on our client machine still, so again, from here on out, we're always on the client machine. We are not dealing with the server ever again, not directly anyway. I'm going to keep the virtual machine running because obviously in real life you would have the server running, but I'm just saying I'm not SSHing into that server with an interactive shell any longer. This is all from the client machine. So on the client machine, I'm going to cd into gitolite-admin.git, and I can see that there are two things here. I'm going to do an ls-F, and I'll see that they're both directories. One directory is called conf, and one is called keydir. So if we do, let's just do a cat on conf slash, and then the only file in that directory is gitolite.conf. So this is the main configuration for the entire infrastructure of your Git server, or I should say the entire infrastructure of Git on your server. So this configuration file currently has two entries in it. It defines two different repositories, and then it assigns a user certain permissions, one for each repository. So the first one will be repo space gitolite-admin, and that's going to be true no matter what. If you've installed Gitolite and you've followed along with this, it defines itself, the gitolite-admin directory. That's what we're using right now, the repository. And the initial user for that is, well, it has permissions, rw plus. The r is for read, the w is for write, and then the plus is for everything else that you could do to a repository. Fast forward, delete branches, merge branches, things like that. And the user that it gives that permission to on my system is called Gitolite. And you might think that might be different than yours, or you may just be confused as to why Gitolite is the user with those permissions. Like, didn't we SSH in as a user called Git? Well, more on that in a moment. The second repository that it defines is repo testing. And again, that has RW plus permissions set for the user at all. Now that's the at symbol followed by the word all. And the at symbol is the notation in the gitolite.conf file to denote that it is a group of users. So if we'll get into that in a little bit. So for now, just know that the at all means that everyone in the all group can access the testing repository as it is configured right now. Okay, so let's look, before we get into groups and fancy things like that, let's just have a look at where this Gitolite setting is coming from for the Gitolite admin. So now if you do an ls on key dir, at least on my system, because this is what I did earlier in setting it up, there's a public key called or named gitolite.pub. And that's because, if you'll recall, on my virtual machine on the server, I had created, or I had copied up my Klaatu public key to my Git server, and I had named that key gitolite.pub. So since gitolite.pub is the name of the key, that becomes the unique identifier for the user, for the sort of vague notion of a user on that system. So if we added, for instance, a bob.pub key to our key dir, then we could go into our configuration file and give Bob all kinds of permissions. And that is exactly how you add users to this infrastructure. So if you've got a developer who wants access to a repository, the developer sends you their public key. You give it some name that makes sense to you. It can be their username. It can be your nickname for that person. It could just be some other designation that you have come up with for tracking your users. But whatever that public key gets named, the string before the .pub becomes their unique identifier to Gitolite. And so you can open up the gitolite.conf, and you could say, well, let's give this person, let's say, Bob, read access to the testing repository. And so you would just type R and then equals and Bob. And as long as Bob has a bob.pub in the key dir, then Bob can interact with that repository using, obviously, Bob's private key on Bob's system to authenticate against that public key on the server. Now, Bob will still do a git clone of 192, well, git at 192.168.177.20:testing.git. He won't use his name, Bob. It'll still be under git at. Everyone's going to use git at, just like on GitHub, GitLab, and all those other solutions. You're all SSHing to git at, and then that, you know, the domain name. The difference is that they are using SSH keys to not only authenticate to the server, but also to identify themselves so that Gitolite can determine who has permission to do what. Does that make sense? So once you make these changes, the one really, really important thing you have to remember to do is you have to git add conf gitolite.conf and git commit, and we'll say we've added Bob. And we also need to git add the key dir, bob.pub. And now we'll do another git commit because I didn't do that initially. So git added Bob pub key. And now we do a git push origin head, all capitals, head is H-E-A-D, all capitals, git push origin head, put in my password from my public key, And now if we were a user named Bob with bob.pub as our key, we could then clone git testing, the testing git repository. And of course we can actually test that by simply doing, well, we'll have to make an entry, I think. This is the only way I know to do it anyway. Make an entry into our .ssh config file to masquerade as Bob whenever we talk to this host. So the user remains as git, but the key that we want to use now is in my testing directory, and it's called bob.pub. And now I can do a git clone 192.170 testing.git. And I didn't put a password for Bob's fake key, so it's just cloning the directory immediately. And there it is. Not much to look at, but it does work. Yeah, that's the really, really basic side of Gitolite. There's a lot more that you can do with it in terms of the configuration file. You can add groups, as I started to hint earlier, so that you can you can say, and you can group repos together, or you can group users together. So you can create an at my repos group, for instance, and you could say, well, that's going to equal the repos foo and bar. So it would be at my repos equals foo, and then at my repos equals bar. So you're just adding them to a list in a sense, one per line. And then you can say, okay, repo at my repos, and then you can grant read, write, and everything else access to yourself, you know, so that you have, you can go into any repo and do anything that you want, as long as it's a repo that is listed in at my repos. Or you can do that in the other, you know, on the other end with users, and define a set of users that maybe, you know, all staff members might have access to all, I don't know, all of the project repositories, whereas developers may have access to something else. I don't know. So at staff equals Bob and Klaatu, and then you can set R plus, you know, RW plus equals at staff. So it's pretty simple, I guess. There are a few other things that you can do in terms of, I mean, obviously I should mention also, RW plus is not the only set of permissions that you are allowed to grant, obviously. So the RW plus is read, write, and then everything else that you can do with a repository. But you can also just do R for just read. I guess you could do just W. I don't know really how that would work, but you can do RW for read and write. And you can do a minus to deny access. So if you need to explicitly deny access for whatever reason, whether you just feel better about doing that, you can just do a dash. And it will remove access from a certain repository. But I think more often you would probably use it to deny access to a specific branch, for instance. So you might give certain people access to a repository, but forbid them, you know, deny access from the master branch. And that can be very useful, obviously, if you don't want people breaking your builds, and your master is your stable, then you can remove access from master for Bob, but then grant access to, for instance, dev to Bob, so that he can work in the dev branch but can never access master. So there you go. The configuration file options are delineated pretty clearly at gitolite.com/gitolite/conf. It's a pretty good pretty good page full of various rulings and subtleties of how you can manage permissions, and it's quite flexible. It's a lot more flexible, for instance, than just letting people SSH into your server and grab the repository, that's for sure. I mean, you can replicate a lot of this with, for instance, Git hooks, and you know, you can kind of see what user is trying to push to what branch, and you could deny a push if it was happening. But I mean, that's just a lot of work, and it's a lot easier to just set that here in one centralized location. And as I say, the two things that you have to remember to do, I think, for the configuration part is to obtain the public keys and give them the proper name. That's one thing. It's two things, but I'm counting it as one. And then the other, the one that keeps messing me up is I forget to push. I make the change on my client, on my client computer where I have my gitolite-admin configuration. And then I forget to push the thing back up to the server. So I grant someone access, and then they email me later and tell me they can't get to it. And I'm asking them, are you using the right port? Are you using your key? And then I realize, oh yeah, I forgot to push that commit. So don't forget to do that. I think that's everything, to be honest. The bulk of the work is kind of the setting up of that initial SSH key infrastructure to make sure that you've got permission and that Gitolite knows that that's the key that's going to be the administrative user, that whole part. After that, it's really almost self-explanatory. I mean, you can kind of look at the configuration file and figure out how to do that yourself. Oh, which I should mention, yeah, so if you're adding a repository, so if you want to add a new repository, all you have to do is create a new line. So repo, let's do HPR. And we'll RW plus equals Ken, and RW equals Klaatu. So I'm pretending here that I have Ken's public key, and repo HPR, yeah. So that's all I have to do in order to create a new repository. I'll do the git add. And then I'll do the git commit, added HPR repo, and then I'll do the git push origin head, type in my password for my user, my SSH public or private key, whatever it is called, and there we go. So now Gitolite on the back end, if we were to look at it, at the infrastructure of this thing on our virtual machine, which of course we've been told not to really mess around with that, not to really look too closely behind the curtain, but we're going to do it anyway. If we look at this and we look in the repositories directory, we'll see now that there's a gitolite-admin.git, a testing.git, and an hpr.git. So in order to create a new bare repository on your server, you just add it to your Gitolite configuration file, give it at least one user, and it'll be created for you. Now, this is probably a good time to mention that if you are doing something fancy like taking existing Git repositories and migrating them to be under the control of Gitolite, you should read up on how to do that. There is a section called basic-admin. So if you go to gitolite.com/gitolite/basic-admin, there's a section there on bringing existing repos into Gitolite. You don't want to just do this yourself without reading their warnings, because should you have anything very fancy set up, or if you just have it named wrong, like it'll either won't work or something will get messed up. So you don't really want to do that, really, honestly. So be careful there. But yeah, that's Gitolite. It makes the administration of a Git server much, much easier. It makes it really flexible. It does not provide a pretty front end for your users. So if your users are those types of Git users who really, really rely on the HTTP stuff and want a web page where they can view all their diffs and things like that, this is not it. But if your users are fairly competent in Git And, you know, whether they're using the a terminal or whether they're using something like Gitcola or some GUI front end, this is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant way to do administration on the server side. Give it a go. Try it out. I think you'll like it. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.